Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into something absolutely crucial, but let's be honest, often kind of intimidating. Business structure.
Right.
We're looking at sources that treat this not as, you know, just filling out forms, but as the real foundation for success, for protection, and even for your business's purpose.
Absolutely.
Our mission here is to really boil down why picking the right legal setup, LLC, corporation, whatever it is probably the first big strategic decision you'll make.
And it really is strategic. You need to grasp that urgency. Because this foundation, it touches everything. Taxes, liability, how you grow, if you can even get funding. It's what moves you from just like having a business idea to being what some of these sources call a structured visionary.
A structured visionary. I like that. It sounds, well, intentional. Okay, so let's unpack the why first. Why is structure truly a necessity, not just, you know, a nice to have?
Well, the absolute bedrock reason is legal protection, specifically limited liability. A formal structure, like an LLC or a corporation, acts as a kind of firewall. It shields your personal stuff, your house, your savings from business debts, or, God forbid, lawsuits.
So it keeps the two separate, legally speaking. What about just getting an EIN, a tax ID number? Isn't that enough separation?
No, that's a super common misconception. EIN is for taxes. It doesn't create that legal shield. Without the formal entity, the LLC or core filing and the ongoing governance courts can basically say, look, there's no real separation here. It's all just you.
Ah, okay. So filing the form is just step one. The real protection comes from, what, keeping records?
Exactly. That ongoing documentation is key. The sources hammer this point.
Yeah.
You need things like operating agreements or bylaws, meeting minutes, recorded decisions. This stuff documents the separation.
Right.
If you neglect that, you risk something called piercing the legal veil.
Ooh, sounds dramatic.
It is. It means a creditor could argue your business was just your personal piggy bank, and boom, your personal assets are suddenly on the line. If you don't act like separate entities, the law might not treat you as separate.
That really changes how you think about, like, monthly meetings, even for a small LLC. Okay, so that's the protection side. What about looking outwards? How does structure help with, say, credibility?
Huge benefits there. Think credibility and access to capital. When you're a formal entity, you just look more professional, more stable to customers, suppliers, potential partners. Everyone.
It signals you're serious.
Totally. And if you're thinking about growth, especially needing investment, certain structures, particularly corporations, are built for that. They have a clear legal way to issue stock. That's how you bring in venture capital or other big investors.
And I've also heard that sometimes you literally can't get certain contracts or licenses without a specific structure.
That's absolutely right. Government contracts, specific industry licenses, even some large corporate procurement programs, they often mandate that you have to be, say, a registered C Corp or an LLC. It's like a ticket to play in certain arenas.
Okay, this makes sense. It's foundational. Now, this is where I think it gets really interesting for people listening. The what? Choosing the actual entity. The sources lay out the main options. What are the, like, critical differences we need to grasp?
Yeah, let's get into the big players. It really boils down to differences in liability, how they run governance, and, crucially, taxes.
Okay, break it down first.
Let's start with probably the most popular for small businesses.
Yeah.
The LLC, the limited liability company.
Right.
Its big draw is that firewall, the liability protection combined with serious flexibility. Flexibility in how you manage it and flexibility in how it's taxed.
And what's the key document inside an LLC?
That would be the operating agreement. Think of it as the LLC's internal constitution. It spells out who owns what percentage, how decisions get made, who the managers are, all that stuff.
Right.
It's vital for maintaining that separation we talked about.
Got it. Okay, then what about the more traditional corporate route?
Right, the corporation. Usually you're looking at either a C-Corp or an S-Corp, which is mainly a tax distinction we can circle back to.
Corporations are generally more formal, more rigid in their structure. A C-Corp is often the default if you plan to raise significant capital from outside investors because issuing stock is straightforward.
More complex rules, though.
Definitely. You must have bylaws, which are the internal operating rules. You need organizational minutes from the first meetings. Often you'll have things like a board matrix laying out who's on the board and their roles, and templates for properly issuing shares. It's built for, well, corporate complexity.
That makes sense why a tech startup aiming for VC funding would go C-Corp right away. It's the language investors speak.
Yeah.
But let's hit taxes now, because you mentioned that's a huge difference.
absolute critical difference. So C-Corp face what's called double taxation.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the corporation itself pays income tax on its profits. Then, if it distributes profits to shareholders as dividends, those shareholders pay income tax on those dividends again on their personal returns.
Ouch. So how do others avoid that? Well, sole proprietorships, which is just you personally doing business, partnerships, and LLCs, by default, use pass-through taxation. The business's profits and losses are passed through directly to the owner's personal tax returns. The business itself doesn't pay federal income tax.
So the income is only taxed once at the individual level.
Correct. That's a major advantage for many smaller businesses.
That double taxation for C-Corp sounds like a big downside, unless you absolutely need that structure for massive investment.
It can be. Which brings us to a really smart strategic move you see a lot. It highlights the flexibility, especially in the select phase the sources talk about. It's the LLC taxes an S-corporation.
Okay, what does that mean? You're an LLC, but taxed differently.
Exactly. You get the legal protection and the operational flexibility of the LLC structure under state law. But then you file a form with the IRS to be taxed under subchapter S of the tax code. This can potentially save on self-employment taxes for the owners once the business reaches a certain profit level. It's a hybrid approach.
Wow, okay. That's like advanced level strategy, taking the best bits of both.
It really is. It shows structure isn't just picking a box. It's about optimization.
We can't forget nonprofits either. Where do they fit in?
Right. Nonprofits are another distinct legal structure. They need their own specific incorporation package, detailed bylaws, and something absolutely critical, a conflict of interest policy. This is all groundwork to apply for a tax-exempt status, like 501c3. Their governance is under intense scrutiny.
Makes sense given their public benefit mission. Okay, so we formed the entity. Step one, check. But you said earlier most people drop the ball after that, in the maintain phase. How do successful businesses actually keep this structure, this protection, alive year after year?
Yeah, this is where the system really matters. The sources talk about a process, and the key steps after filing are configure and maintain. Configure means actually setting up your internal governance.
Yeah.
Using those tailored kits we mentioned, the operating agreement for the LLC, the bylaws for the corporation. This is where you formally adopt the rules of the road, define roles, decision-making, etc.
So making it real, not just a document sitting in a folder.
Exactly. It's moving from theory to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes maintain. The absolute linchpin here is the compliance calendar.
Okay. What goes on that?
Everything the state or regulators require to keep your entity in good standing. Annual reports, state filing fees, sometimes publication requirements, and crucially, franchise taxes.
Franchise taxes. I hear that term, but what exactly is it? Is it based on profit?
Not always. That's the tricky part. Think of it as a fee you pay to the state, simply for the privilege of existing as a registered business entity there. Sometimes it's a flat fee, sometimes based on assets or revenue, varies by state, but you have to pay it on time.
Regardless of profit. Ouch.
Yeah. The compliance calendar tracks all these deadlines. What's due, when it's due, who's responsible for filing it, and ideally, even the direct link to the state's filing portal. Missing these deadlines can lead to penalties, loss of good standing, and potentially weaken that liability shield.
Okay, so calendar is king for ongoing compliance. Now, all these documents, the formation papers, the EIN letter, the bylaws, meeting minutes, permits, where should they live?
In one central secure place. The sources call it the documentation vault. Could be a physical binder, sure, but realistically today it's a secure digital folder structure. Everything essential, organized.
Why is that so important?
Credibility, again, and readiness. When you go for a loan or deal with auditors or even face due diligence from a potential buyer, having everything organized in one vault is non-negotiable. It shows you're professional and makes their job easier, which helps you.
Right, you're not scrambling to find things. What about tools specifically geared towards like growth, not just staying compliant?
Good question. The sources highlighted a couple of practical toolkits. One is the Banking Readiness Pack.
Okay.
It basically prepackages all the documents banks and payment processors typically ask for when you open accounts or apply for lines of credit. Your formation docs, EIN, operating agreement, resolutions authorizing borrowing. Having it ready saves immense time and hassle.
That makes total sense. And the other?
Related is the Credit Readiness Roadmap. This focuses on building the business's own credit profile, separate from the owner's. It involves getting trade lines with suppliers, maybe a business credit card, all reporting under the business's EIN. Strong business credit is vital for getting loans later without relying on personal guarantees.
Separating the credit, just like separating the liability.
Exactly. And all this ties into the long-term vision, too. Continuity and succession.
Wow, so?
Because all the governance rules, ownership records, key decisions are documented and stored in that vault. So if you bring in a partner, sell the business, or plan for someone else to take over eventually, the transition is orderly, documented, and clear. It preserves the value and stability of the business.
Okay, this paints a really clear picture of structure as an ongoing system. Let's make it even more real. How does this play out differently for different types of businesses? What does that optimize phase look like in practice?
Yeah, the examples really drive it home. Let's take the local bakery.
Right.
It probably starts as a simple LLC. Good protection, simple pass-through taxes. Easy to manage early on.
Makes sense.
But as it grows, hires more staff, payroll gets bigger, maybe the owner realizes they could save on self-employment taxes. So they strategically add the S-corporation tax election to their existing LLC.
Ah, that hybrid strategy again.
Exactly. They optimize the tax structure. Then maybe they open a second location. Their compliance calendar helps them track the filings needed for both locations. And when they need a bigger oven, they use their banking readiness pack to easily apply for a small business line of credit. The structure supports each growth stage.
Smart. Incremental evolution. Okay, contrast that with the high-growth tech world.
Right. The tech studio. They likely form as a C corporation from day one. Why? Because their entire plan revolves around raising capital through selling stock.
Built for investment.
Precisely. So they immediately adopt formal bylaws, set up a board using a board matrix, and use proper cap table tools and board resolutions to manage equity as they bring in seed funding, then maybe a Series A round. The C Corp structure is the vehicle for their funding strategy.
Very different starting point and trajectory. What about someone managing physical assets like real estate? Risk is everywhere there.
Huge focus on risk mitigation. So the real estate investor. A common strategy is to create a central holding company, maybe an LLC itself.
Okay, like an umbrella.
Exactly. And then they form separate LLCs for each individual property they own, nested under the holding company.
Whoa, why so many entities?
Layered protection. If something goes wrong at property A, a major lawsuit, for instance, is contained within property A's LLC. It generally can't easily reach property B or property C or the main holding company, let alone the investor's personal assets.
That's serious compartmentalization.
It is. And their documentation vault becomes crucial for keeping all the paperwork, straight leases, insurance policies, loan documents, maintenance records organized by property, by LLC. It proves the separation is real.
These examples really show structure isn't just a one-time choice. It's a dynamic tool you adapt. You can model changes, add partners, spin off a new product line into a subsidiary.
That's the core message. Structure enables strategy. It's about moving forward with precision, protection, and purpose. It shapes how the market sees you and what future growth is actually possible because you've built the systems to handle it.
This has been incredibly helpful. I think we've shown that whether you're that solo LLC or a multi-entity C Corp, the absolute key takeaway is you need that formal internal governance, the operating agreement or bylaws, and you need the ongoing maintenance. The compliance calendar, the document vault, that's what keeps the shield strong.
Nail the governance system, keep it maintained, and you de-risk growth. It allows you to focus on the business itself.
Okay, so as we wrap up, here's a final thought for you, the listener, to consider as you build out your own vision. We focused heavily on the legal and financial structures, but interestingly, some of the source materials recommended owner self-assessments before even finalizing structure. Things like the five-factor model of personality, the Enneagram, multiple intelligences, personality type tests.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the question is, if the legal structure is the foundation of the business, how might understanding the personality structure, the behavioral tendencies of the founders and key leaders, actually impact the success of that internal governance? Think about executing on the compliance calendar, following the bylaws, making decisions collaboratively. How does the human element interact with the legal blueprint you create? Something to chew on.